Are you okay? How many says, I thank you, Jesus, for his love for me. I thank you for his beautiful presence. I thank you for taking me on this journey of faith. One day you will not need the faith, but you will have his love forever and ever. Amen. Are you ready for a message this morning? Are you expecting God to speak to you? Well, he spoke to me when I prepared this, so I hope he'll speak to you as well. So, Lord Jesus, I just pray for our ears to hear what you have to say, God. Not my voice, but your voice. And Lord, not my words, but your words, God. Pierce our hearts, open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us today, that indeed the heaven will come down and your kingdom be manifested in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm still on this journey with Isaiah 6. And the journey is about breaking through hardened hearts. And Isaiah lived 700 some years before Christ. And he prophesied. The title today is, Without Forgiveness, There Is No Peace. Without forgiveness, there is no future. Today, I want to focus on the peace part. I mean, believe that forgiveness and peace are connected. In Isaiah chapter 6, God says, Isaiah, apart to be the mouthpiece of God. And in Isaiah 9, he begins to prophesy in a time of turmoil when the Assyrians are about to attack Israel and Judah. And there's political upheaval, there is spiritual upheaval, and there is economic upheaval, and in the midst of that, he begins to prophesy. And he prophesies this where we very well know from Christmas. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called, what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And how long is his peace going to last? Forever. He is the Prince of Peace. The Hebrew word there, prince, is a fighting prince. It's somebody who fights for peace. How does he do it? How does he bring peace to humanity? My friends, in Isaiah 53, it is again prophesied how he's doing it. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. Jesus went on the cross. And on the cross, he took the wrath of God that we should have for our sins. He paid the penalty, my friends, for our past. He paid the penalty for our sin and iniquity, our selfishness, our self-centeredness, our wrong choices, the evil in our hearts, he took it on himself. He absorbed the wrath of God so that we can have forgiveness. My friends, it is not the work of man, it's the work of God. How many believe you're saved by the grace of Jesus? On that cross, Jesus declared to all of humanity, for all eternity, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. How many has heard that? And you know how the Father answered? He answered, yes, let it be done. It's done. In the New Testament, my friends, the prophets in the New Testament says, this Prince of Peace has already come, and he has already taken our sins and forgiven us. Amen. And there, he then, before he ends up on the cross, after he dies and goes to the tomb and rises again, and before he ascends into heaven, that's what I meant. Before he ascends into heaven, he He sends out his disciples. Just like Isaiah was sent, so God is sending the disciples. And he's sending you. 9/11. How many remember 9/11? There was 19 men with a bolt cutter, hatred, religion, and they went and they destroyed and killed over 3,000 American people. And they did it in the name of their God. When Jesus spoke to the disciples in John 20:21, he says, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And what is he doing? And with that, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Sorry, there should have been another line there. The next line is 23. "Those you forgive will be forgiven, and those you don't forgive will not be forgiven." And the message is, wherever you bring the gospel, there will be forgiveness. And those who don't receive the gospel, they will not be forgiven. Wherever you receive the gospel, the message, it says in Acts, is the message of peace. Wherever they receive the message of peace, the good news of peace, there will be forgiveness and grace. He says to the disciples, "Go. I'm sending you to be the messengers of peace. I'm sending you." How many here are disciples of Jesus? "I'm sending you," he says, "to be the messengers of peace." And so they went to be the witnesses of Jesus. Now hear me, my friends. Jesus went on the cross. And what did he do on the cross? He absorbed the wrath of God. He absorbed the offense. Jesus was brutalized, hated, rejected, abandoned. And he absorbed it. And says, "Father, forgive them." And then he turns to us and says, "If you want to come after me, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow me. If you're willing to give up your life, you'll find it. But if you're willing to hang on to your life, you'll not find it." How many remember that scripture? What he's saying is that just like Jesus absorbed the offense and the pain and the rejection, he's saying that your cross, your little cross, is to do the same. And if you want to hang on to your bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred, you will lose life. You will not find it. But if you're willing to give it up, to bring it to the cross, you will find life. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. How has he come to kill, steal, and destroy? By planting bitterness, offense, and hurt in your heart. And when you can't let go of it, you lose life. But when you're willing to take it there and leave it where it belongs, Jesus will take it from you and bring healing and wholeness to your heart. Amen. I believe that when the disciples went into the world, to the highways and byways, the words of Jesus was ringing in their ears, in their spirit. It was bringing to the forefront by the Holy Spirit. The words that he said, what was the words? He said, "Bless those who curse you." That means you choose no longer to speak negative about the person who hurt you. That means you no longer is going to tear down that person to friends and relatives. But instead, you're going to pray the blessing that they will actually succeed and do well. I believe that the words of Jesus came to the forefront in their memory when Jesus says, "You say an eye for an eye, but I say, turn the other cheek. You say, love the people who loves you and hate your enemies, but I say, love your enemies." I think they remembered. They remembered when they were in jail. They remembered when they were being stoned, when rejected and abandoned, and eventually most of them lost their lives. They remembered that the prisoners, the jailers, the guards, those who hated them and wanted to kill them, they were not the enemy. There was an enemy, but they were not it. And they were able to pray for them and turn the other cheek. Wherever the gospel went, my friends, it was the gospel that brought peace and reconciliation. He calls us ambassadors of reconciliation. First, my friends, it is to bring reconciliation between you and God. And that comes because you recognize your need to forgiveness. And when you come with your sin and leave them at the cross, the Holy Spirit comes in you and you're born again. You rise through the grave and come up on the other side as a new person. You're a new creation. You're reconciled with God. But then he says to you, "Now I have given you an experience and a message. And I want you to take that message not just to a foreign land, that's great, but take that message also into your family, where it's the most difficult, where it's the most painful." How many believe that God wants us to be Christ-like? And Christ laid down his life for you, for me. And he wants us to lay down our life for one another. He wants to call his church a family. Brothers and sisters who backs each other up. And the only way you can do that is by laying down the bitterness and unforgiveness. As Jesus has loved you and forgiven you, forgive one another. I want to share this story. You know, my preaching, I love to use a story, okay? Because that makes sense to me. How many believe that Jesus actually used stories? So, I read this book, Once a Yerefad Man. And it's about Sada, a Palestinian. Tessa Sadat. Tessa Sadat was in church one day, and there was him, a Palestinian, and there was an Israeli soldier. His name is Moron Rosenblatt. He has lost loved ones. He had lost loved ones to Palestinian terrorists. Sadat had been a Palestinian terrorist. But together in church, they embraced one another and forgave one another. Let me tell you a little more about this Tassat. Tassat Sadat grew up in, actually was born in the Gaza Strip. Ended up moving to Courtois. I probably don't say that right, but you know what I mean. It's one of those Middle East countries. And in 1967, there was war between Israel and Arabian countries like Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt. And Israel won the war. As a young man, he was furious. How could they not have won that war against Israel? He was full of hatred. He felt that Israel had taken their land from them, and he joined up with PLO. Yasser Arafat, how many remember Yasser Arafat? the leader of PLO. He joined up with him and became a sniper. He killed Jews. He killed Christian Palestinians. His dad was concerned for his life and ended up sending him to the United States. Sent him to a school to go to the United States. And he ended up being a manager of a restaurant. And there was a rich customer, Charlie, coming regularly. And he became friends. And one day he saw something different on Charlie. He was smiling and there was something different. He said, "What's going on here?" And he said, "I have a connection." And he said, "I want to know that connection." He said, "When you're ready, I'll tell you." About 3 weeks later, he invited him to come to his house. And Sada came to his house. And he said, "Tell me about this connection." And he said, "You need to know this. If you're going to have the peace that I have, you need to learn how to love a Jew." It may not mean anything to you, but for him, it was everything. He said, "You got to be kidding me. I spend my entire life hating Jews. I'm leaving." He said, "No, just for the sake of our friendship, hear me." And then he shared with him how he had come to know Jesus and how Jesus had changed his life. And then he took the Bible and he put it between them. And so Dad jumped. He said, "Why are you jumping? It's just paper." He said, I know what that is. That's the holy book." "Wow, you think it's a holy book? That's interesting." So he flipped open the book and it says in John chapter 1, it says, "The word was." "The word was with God. The word was God." And at that moment, the Spirit of God came on him and he fell on his knees. And he had a revelation of Jesus. He called it the light. And he heard the voice saying, "I'm the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father except through me." And he became born again. Let me fast forward the story a little bit. He wrote a letter to his parents and told them that he had become converted and become a follower of Jesus. And when he did that, his brother called him back and said, "What have you done? Have you turned away from Islam?" He said, "Yes, I have. I've become a believer in Jesus." And he said, "If you don't turn back to Islam, I'll come and kill you." They don't have problems with him. They don't mince with the words, okay? It's straight talk. And he says, "I love you, but I have found God." Well, years go by, and then suddenly one day, maybe 10 years later, he feels an urgency to go and see his parents. He calls his brother and said, "I'm coming to see my parents. I want to go and kiss them and make it and honor them. The Bible says to honor your father and your mother. I want to go and honor them. I have dishonored them with my faith in Jesus, but I want to go and honor them." He said, "Don't you remember what I told you? That if I get a chance, I will kill you." He says, "Just give me 15 minutes with my dad to kiss him and bless him, and you can do whatever you want." I think that's pretty brave. Talk about stepping into the hornet's nest. So he gets on the plane, lands. His three brothers come. He knows exactly what it means. Because in Islam, it means that when you do an honor killing, there has to be three witnesses. And three times they will ask you, "Do you want to convert back to Islam?" "No." "Second time." "Third time." But the third time, you're out, and they kill you. And he saw his brother come, and he could see the pistol in his pocket. He knew exactly what they were going to do. And he knew that if they killed him right there, he would not be charged. In fact, he would be called a hero. So he went up to his brother, and he kissed him on the right side, on his neck, which in their culture meant, "I honor your authority as the elder brother." Now do whatever you want. I don't remember. Do you remember a kiss that Jesus got one time by that Judas? And Jesus says, what did he say? Go and do what he came to do. The brother couldn't do it. He embraced him. I want to tell you this too, that before he went, he told his wife what he was going to do. She wasn't too happy. But she called all her Christian friends to intercede and pray. Right there in the airport, the brother did not fall through with what he came to do. He took him home to mom and dad. And the first thing mom asked was, do you eat pork? Do you eat pork? He said, no, actually, I have not eaten pork. He says, why did you come? He says, mom and dad, I came to bless you because the Bible tells me I am to bless my parents. So you're going to turn back to Islam? The father said. He said, no. No, I'm going to turn back to Islam. I come to bless you. And I know that you have been dishonored because of my faith in Jesus. But if I can bless you, then you can do with me whatever you want. And if you kill me, you'll be honored in your community. And I'll keep my faith and you'll be honored and we both win. So I want to bless you, Dad. And I want to bless you, Mom. The father then turned to him and said, what happened to you? And he shared his story of how he got encountered Jesus, how Jesus became real to him in this vision, in this trance, and how he turned his life over to Jesus, and how it changed his family, and how his kids became believers. And the father says, I believe that Allah has called you for a special person, for a special purpose. And then he took his hand and he blessed his son. He stayed for a week in his father's house with his brothers, came home, called his mother a few days later. And mom said, we had a family meeting after you left. And some of them were mad of the older brother that he didn't kill you. But your father said, I have blessed my son. And anybody who curses my son will be cursed by me. And she said, after that, there was complete silence. Nobody would go against that. Why am I sharing this story? Because Sada took the message of peace and brought it to the place where it hurt the most. Disconnect from his mom and dad. I want to tell you this too. He also went back a number of years later to the PLO leader, Yasser Arafat. And Yasser Arafat, remember him well. He had been his driver. He had been his sniper. And he began to share the gospel with Yasser Arafat. And Yasser Arafat were very, very open. But when he came to the point when he said, Jesus has saved me and he can save you, Yasser Arafat, he put up his hand and said, that's far enough. But 6 months later, he heard from another pastor that the pastor had led Yasser Arafat to Jesus. And a few months later after that, he died. Some of you will say, Yasser Arafat did not deserve forgiveness. And you're right. You're completely right. But neither did you. Neither did Sadat. He didn't deserve forgiveness. Why did he go to Yasser Arafat? Because he was a follower of the Prince of Peace. Some of you are sitting here today. Some of you are sitting here today, and you're saying, Hans, I can't go there because they're dead. My parents are gone, or my sibling is gone, or whatever it is, and I can't go there. And how do I ever deal with my heart? My friends, it starts with you bringing it to Jesus. It starts with you bringing the bitterness and hurt and unforgiveness to Jesus. And I'm not saying it's easy. There is a price. But if you don't do it, the price is even greater. He wants to heal your broken heart and make you an instrument of his peace. And my friends, there is people around you who needs peace. Your children, your spouses, your grandparents, your workers, they need peace. They need to know that there's a God who loves them and whose mercy triumphs judgment. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Amen. Let's stand. If you don't mind, I will.